Okay, so we talked about possibility one yesterday, which are variations on the Jews really weren't affected, either completely, ethnically, right? The Midrashic one, that even if they are in one place, and they're having the blood, they're having water from the Nile, so it'll be blood for the Egyptians, and it'll be water from them, and the Egyptians can buy water off of them, that miraculously change. And then there was the geographic one, which is much of the Skin of Chanel, which is, you know, mostly they're not affected, but really it's Goshen versus the rest of the country. So the next possibility is that there is some sort of mix going on, and this appears in the Rashbam and the Ramban in certain places, and Tosfos, some other Balei Tosfos wrote. And they say as follows: in most of the Makot, the Jews outside of Goshen were not spared, right? But there are certain exceptions. So, for example, the Rashbam says that Choshech was an exception. Why was Choshech? Because the pasuk says Uluchol b'nei Yisrael or b'moshvotam. So the word kol there tips off the Rashbam that maybe Choshech is different, right? That usually it's geographic, but sometimes it's ethnic. The Tosafist manuscript suggests what I think is almost Mukhraf, which is Dever. Right, by Dever, it really sounds like Kol, right, that Ulchol b'nei Yisrael lomait echad, that sounds like none of them. So again, you can have these mixes that most of them were geographic, some of them were about identity, yeah.
But throughout the plagues, even Ezra has this idea that anytime it says Kol, or not anytime, but most of the times it says Kol, it means, it doesn't mean all, it means most.
Correct, so you could always say, no, Kol doesn't mean Kol, it means most, and that's why you wouldn't say, right, that by that Dever they were spared. The Ramban argues that, takes it from the opposite side, that for most plagues, the Egyptians living in Goshen were not spared. But certain ones they were, like Arov. Right? The Ramban thinks that Dafka by Arov, the wild animals just didn't approach Goshen. But in other ones, they would have been affected wherever they were. So again, you have these mixed ones. Now, part of what leads to this is the fact that, again, as we noted, only some of the Makot, but the other identity one is, I assume, Makot Becharot, right? Makot Becharot, no one thinks Jews died. But the fact that only certain of the Makot say that the Jews were distinguished. Similarly, the fact that the para only checks after Dever, right? So all these types of factors are what lead to people to have these mixed position. Okay, so that's some sort of combination. What I find fascinating is the position of the Akedat Yitzchak. The Akedat Yitzchak takes a totally different approach, and he says what matters is the purpose of the plague. And as we talked about this earlier in the week, the Makot were meant to be educational. But what were they trying to teach? So here the Akedat Yitzchak notes that there were different things they were trying to teach. One thing they were trying to teach was that there is a God. Basic, there is a God. Now, if the Makot is teaching that there is a God, does it need to distinguish between Jews and non-Jews?
No.
No, because all it is about God's power. Right, it's God. It's about God's power. He exists. That's it.
The areas of
correct. It doesn't matter, and therefore, Yitzchak Rama says the first three were just about God's power, and therefore the blood and the frogs and the kingdom that affected everybody because God was just introducing Himself as I am a powerful being that exists, and therefore there was no need to distinguish between Jews and non-Jews, at all.
But then,
Dam Tzvardei Akinim, there just is a God. Right, doesn't matter.
But then if they're all being affected by the dam, don't we know that the Jews, at least in Midian, had water?
No, we don't know that. The Midrash says that. We don't know that, right? He says the first three of the Jews are affected. Okay? He says, but after that, so as we've talked about, the point of the Makot, teach there is a God, so once you're in, that's the Ditzach ones, they're just teaching there's a God. There's no reason to distinguish, it's just God showing His power. But once you get to Adash Be'achav, so he says the second set is designed to show that God is able to distinguish between people, between nations. Obviously, at that level,
can you distinguish it?
You need to distinguish, right? You're showing God's ability, is hashkacha, his ability to be precise. Things like that obviously need it. And that's why by Dever we know that no Jew's animal is killed. By Arov, they're not bothered. He assumes by Shchin, they're not bothered. And the argument is that the second Makot, God's ability to distinguish, to right, be Mashkiach, is what is being educated towards, and therefore, obviously, you need to distinguish. And the third set were to show God's unlimited power over nature. And again, once you're talking about God's, not just power, but specific control of nature, then precision becomes important. And therefore, for him, you're teaching God's existence, God's power, and then and precision and hashkacha and God's control of nature. In the latter two sections, you want a God who's precise, right? That control isn't I just, you know, bomb everything, right? It's I can, right? I am in control of your computers. I can infect your computer and your computer and your computer, not just, you know, pull the electricity,
that seems
right?
To imply that that he can't do both.
No, not no. It's
that he can't not put viruses on computers, but he can go in and carpet bomb something, but he can carpet bomb the right thing.
Right,
where
so
it's still a big explosion.
Correct, but the point is that in the second and third sets, God is educating them about his ability to not just that he's existent, and he's powerful. Well, okay, he can carpet bomb, right? But that God is able to distinguish, and he has complete control of nature, and therefore, yes, he can carpet bomb, but only specific people, right? Which is right. But as the Maga progress, we're teaching about the way God interacts with the world in more specific ways that do require distinction. And therefore, he says, very simply, why is it that only some of the Makot mention it? Well, the first three, it's just not true. They didn't distinguish. And after that, they do, and that's why it's mentioned by Arov, and it's mentioned by Dever. Now, it doesn't mention it, admittedly, by everyone. It doesn't mention it by Shchin and Arbe. So he comes up with other proofs. Right, so here are his proofs, because obviously now you're stuck. Right, if you think that three of them they were affected, and then of the next eight, five of them say that God distinguished, and two of them don't, that sounds like a glaring omission. So you have to look for hints. So these are the hints he comes up with. By Shchin, he says that the pasuk says the Egyptian Khartoumim were embarrassed to appear in front of the Jews with them, and he says they wouldn't be embarrassed if everyone had it, right? There had to be a distinction, so that's his diuk. Okay, fine. Now, Arbe, he actually thinks the Jews were affected, but he has a get out here, which is, it didn't really, their food was eaten up, but it didn't really matter because it was towards the end, so like it didn't affect them substantively, but if God hadn't killed, right, hadn't had the Arba eat all their food, what would have happened? When they would have left, the Egyptians would have had food left over, because we're at the end. So he says the combination of the fact that it didn't affect the Jews so much, because, you know, whatever food they had in their house, they could eat, and they just didn't have long-term food, and now there would be no food for the Egyptians to steal after they left.
The Jews need long-term food for.
That's exactly his point, is because at the end of the Makkah. So therefore he says, yeah, technically, Arba, they were affected, meaning their food was eaten, but it wasn't to affect them, it was to affect the Egyptians once the Jews left. So that's the way he sort of deals with this. And that's why he says, specifically by Dever and Arov, we have this extra emphasis, where that's specifically teaching God's ability to distinguish. That's why such a big deal is made of the distinction between Jews and non-Jews in that middle triad, and that's why Paro checks during that triad. Right? He also just suggests that God taught Paro in different ways that God can distinguish. By Arov, it was Goshen versus Mitzrayim. But by Dever, it was Jew versus non-Jew. And this way, right, basically, he started the geographic distinction, but that didn't impress Paro. So by Dever, he said, fine, I will make it countrywide, but it'll be divided ethnically.
If you insist on me doing it in a worse way for you.
Exactly. And therefore, he suggests that, again, distinction is central to the middle, but in two different ways. For Dever, it's Jew versus non-Jew. by Arov, which was before that, it was only Goshen versus Israel. So again, the Akedat Yitzchak is fascinating because he really tries to account for both the theology of the different Makot and the nuances in language throughout the Makot. The last possibility is to say that indeed the Makot affected all the Jews in five of them and not in the other five. Meaning when the Torah said it didn't affect them, it didn't affect them. When it said it did affect them, it did affect them. Ibn Ezra really goes mostly in this direction. And again, here you could still say, okay, is it ethnic or is it geographic? So you could say that, look, by the five, so some of them clearly say it's about Goshen, Arov and Barad. On the other hand, by Choshech, it sounds like it's everywhere because it's about Bimoshvotam, which is not necessarily Goshen. Rabbi Yosef ibn Kasbi takes the approach that it was completely geographic. Five affected all of Mitzrayim, and five only affected the land outside of Goshen. So again, so Arov, Barad, Choshech were not in Goshen. He understands Moshvotam is meaning their city of residence rather than their houses. And the Ibn Ezra Ralbag have some sort of combination where they say Arov, not clear. The Ralbag thinks that Arov is about Goshen versus Mitzrayim. Why? So the Ibn Ezra's basic theory is that the more harmful the Makkah, the more God protected the Jews. The less harmful the Makkah, the less he protected the Jews. And again, he, like the Akedat Yitzchak, said that yes, Arba is really damaging, but it's only damaging if you're planning on living there long term, and therefore the Jews weren't spared from Arba, but that really isn't a big deal because they're on their way out. But fundamentally, the lesser plagues affected the Jews, and the more severe ones did not. Specifically in Arov, the Ibn Ezra takes the position that the Jews were protected everywhere and everyone in Goshen was protected. So you have both. So again, there are all types of combinations, but fundamentally the last approach is to say when the Torah says it distinguished, when it said it didn't, and either you can either take that all geographic, all identity, or mix them as you wish, but that's the last possibility. Okay? Shkoyach.